We got homework from last week. Who has homework from last week? Before I get going here. Oh, I see. All right. We have to have a pop quiz then. All right. Who knows what our goals are at Bernie Bush? What's our goals at Bernie Bush?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's good. Very good. I'm so glad to have you back, Grace. I'm so glad. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. And show them Jesus. There you go. There's three goals we have at Burning Bush, okay? I want you to write them down if you don't have them. Number one, to know... Go ahead. What are they?
Know Jesus Christ personally.
To know Jesus Christ personally.
Walk in victory.
Okay, I'm going to read it the way I have it. To walk in victory by hanging out with Jesus. To walk in victory by hanging out with Jesus. See, it doesn't do any good to tell somebody our goal is to help you walk in victory if you're not telling somebody how. And real simply, in a nutshell, it's by hanging out with Jesus. Okay? And number three, what's our goal?
Love others to Jesus.
To love others to Jesus. Now you see that little... I'm sorry for how you were raised. we're going to keep loving you to Jesus until then, you know. All right. You know, that song, it goes, there's no God like Jehovah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of times when people talk about God, they talk about the Father. I hear charismatics or whatever talk about the Holy Spirit. But in the Bible, from cover to cover, God always points to Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven, as I've told you, shared with you many times, they named a street sign after Jesus. It's called One Way. That's right. Okay? So, when we sing that song, you're singing, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want anybody thinking I'm a Jehovah Witness here or something, even though I am a true Jehovah Witness. I just got to witness to one of those this week, you know. A JFW came to my door, and I thought it was Tom Bowsma, and I was over in my chair, and Tim was there, and I said, hey, Tim, let him in.
Uh-oh.
So I look up, and it wasn't Tom.
Uh-oh.
And I went, okay, Lord, who is this? And it's like, before I even got out of my chair, God's like, that's a JFW. Well, probably God just said it's Jehovah's Witness, but. You know what a JFW is, right? Jehovah False Witness. I'm a JTW, Jehovah True Witness, okay? But when we sing that song, there's no God like Jehovah, the way I sing it is, there's no God like my Jesus. There's no God like my Jesus. And the reason is because it's all about Jesus. We're not Old Testament, we're not Jews, and Jehovah is one of God's names, and it means the Lord, or the Lord God, or the Lord Almighty, okay? But there's a lot of names about Him. But from the beginning of the book until the end of the book, it's all about Jesus. He's the one that we're going to stand before. He's the one who created the earth. Everything is about Jesus, and that's why I like to get people there. But our three goals at Burning Bush, I want you to get this, because this is what we're about doing here, okay? We're a training center for ministers. We're not just playing church on Sunday. This isn't about let's all get together and say we love you, and it doesn't mean anything because nobody ever calls you or has you over for dinner or spends time with you. No, this is about intimacy. This is about relationship. This is a relationship church. But our three goals here are, number one, to know Jesus Christ personally. Do you? And are you able to help other people to know Him? Number two, to walk in victory by hanging out with Jesus. Many people that go to churches don't live in victory. I want you to live in victory. It doesn't do any good. It may do you a little good because it may give you a taste. But it doesn't do any good just to come to church on Sunday, get a shot in the arm of feel good, and then go and live the rest of your life in defeat. Does it?
No.
It does. If it's not helping your relationship, if it's not helping your choices, if it's not teaching you to walk in victory, if it's not in helping you to learn how to walk in victory, what good is it? Did we just come together to feel good? Okay? Is this another social club? Because you can find another one. Okay? Because that's not what we're about. It's about helping each person to know and to live Jesus so much that wherever you go, what you're full of is going to get off on somebody else. You understand? They're going to get infected. You know? You need to be contagious. Okay? Now, homework. Does anybody have homework that I asked about last week? You remember homework? Let's see. Okay. Anybody have that? If not, we're going to go right into an outline. And start talking about something that's going to help you, that's something that everybody deals with. And most people, I could tell you a real simple way to deal with it, but today we've got a 19-point outline to help you deal with it in a thorough way. And the reason is because every single person deals with sin. Every single person. When you deal with sin in the right way, guess what? You have confidence. You feel good. If Harvey comes around, you can look him in the eye. You know what I mean? If you're not dealing with sin right, man, I don't want to see Harvey. I don't want to talk to Glenn. I can't talk to God. I'm afraid to, you know. If you're always thinking he's mad at you, you know, or like walk over to Nate and he jumps, you know, why?
You're still getting hurt.
That's right. And that's how it is for everybody's life. People are used to being hurt. What we need to do is we need to love on them. What we need to do is we need to heal them. What we need to do is just kiss his little boo-boos and see, he can hardly handle it, you know, because he doesn't know what to do with it. I want you to look at your outline, and we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you two verses to simply deal with sin, and it's real simple. And they're on the outline, and we'll get to them. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to give them to you because we're going to get to them when we do the outline. So I want you to go look at the very beginning, and we'll get there. I'm going to show you when we go through them, two verses. I'll just give them to you. They're Luke 18:13 and 1 John 1:9. Those two verses are so simple to deal with sin. Okay? Luke 18:13, 7 words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How hard is that? Number two, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, that word confess means to agree with and say the same thing God says, mean what He means. If we confess our sin, not try to cover it, not try to excuse it, not try to water it down, but if we admit it, God, I'm a sinner. I just committed adultery. I am in sin. God, forgive me. Not like when David, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Okay? I didn't just commit adultery. I'm not doing a public confession here. I'm trying to let you know we don't water it down and say, well, I got in an affair. It's not an affair. It's called adultery. It's not a disease called alcoholism. It is a sin called drunkenness. Do you understand? We don't water it down. We don't gloss it over. We name it, and then we get deliverance. We don't play with it. You don't play with a deadly snake. You wouldn't want a little kid playing with a deadly snake or playing with a scorpion. We used to own a pet store, and we had these guys, you know. If somebody came in, they wanted to buy a snake, I said, could you come back when my wife's here? I don't like touching them. I could make it a good snake for you, but then you wouldn't want to buy it because it's dead. Okay? Because that's the only good snake there is to me. Good snake, good spider, they don't move. Okay? When you pick them up, they just hang there. They're just, what you doing? Just hanging? Okay? We'll get over it. So we're doing an outline here, and we named it Victorious, how did I name it? Steps to Victorious and Thorough Deliverance from Sin. I asked God when He had me writing this down, so He got my little iPod and I got my Bible in here and I put all these notes. You ever had a Bible that has cross references? Have you ever noticed when you're talking to me, I can cross reference any verse or just about and take you to other verses that do that? Well, I do that all the time in my iPod. I'm putting them in here. Maybe one day somebody will take it and do the Harvey version of the King James, you know, with all the notes, you know, the cross references and all the notes in there, you know, because that's what I'm putting in here. But come on back, please. Thank you. Act right. I know you're electronic, but yeah. It says lay hands suddenly on no man. Didn't say anything about my iPod. I need a stick. Okay. All right. Psalm 139, verse 23. Today we're doing a Bible study. You got a Bible? Need to open it up because we're going to look at a lot of verses. We're going to go through this. I'm not going to try to talk on everyone because I've got it written out, but I want you, we may, whatever God wants, but I want you to see. Do y'all have the outline in there? Both y'all have an outline? You don't. Come here. Do you have an outline, Snickle Fritz, on the floor? Do you have an outline? Okay, good. I didn't hear your head rattle. Okay. Hey, somebody get her an outline. Who had the outlines? Where's more of them? Go over there. I think Steve's got it. Would you, please? Okay. Steps to victorious and thorough deliverance from sin. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Somebody want to read that out loud, please?
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Okay. Psalm 51:6. Whoops, I picked up somebody's notebook. Psalm 51:6. Anybody else need a copy of the Word? I'll just set it here. Yeah, you want to read it? Psalm 51:6.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in that, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
There you go. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Okay? I want you to notice something at the top, the note. We can't go from one point to the next. We can't go from one number to the next. There's going to be a 19-point outline. Somebody says, oh, you need to do outlines so we can follow you. Well, this is a good outline. Okay. And when I was putting it together and I was writing it, I just write it in my Bible because God was telling me to do it. And I said, and then he said, well, Harvey, you're going to share this with the people at Burning Bush. And I'm like, Lord, 19 points. Like, what is it going to take us? Like weeks to go through this or whatever? He said, no, you just read it through one time. He said, but they need to understand how to thoroughly deal with sin. You ever ask God for forgiveness and stuff and you walk away and you still feel guilty? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You ever gone and you try, or you think about going to pray, but you feel, or you're going to come talk to me or somebody that walks with God and you feel embarrassed to come talk to them and you can't look them in the eye? Or you ever been a kid and you can't look at your parents in the eye because you got stuff inside of you, right? Do you know what, I think it's Proverbs 19:23. Do you know what it says? There's 15 times, by the way, this is just a little side note, okay, to help you. 15 times in the book of Proverbs is the saying, the little phrase, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. People think because we've got Jesus, we don't have to fear. I don't want you to be motivated by fear, but you need to have a holy respect unto God. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. The Bible says that's New Testament. New Testament says it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You look at the book of Acts, and when God did things, it said the church feared. All the people feared. What do you think that means? It means they had a holy respect. They were afraid to move, realizing, you know, in the New Testament, there was two people, a man and his wife. They were given money. Everybody was like coming to God and everybody just like giving their whole lives. So they were bringing all their money. They were going and selling all their land, selling everything and bringing it and laying it down at the apostles' feet and saying, here, you distribute it. Here, we trust you. You give it out to the people that have needs. And there was a couple, And they said, we want to get in on this because everybody's admiring them. Oh, Nate and Leida brought everything and laid it down. Oh, Bill brought everything and laid it down. Everybody's admiring them. I want to be admired. Okay, wife, let's do this. We'll take and we'll give them a big sum because we got more money than others. So we'll give them a big sum, but we won't give it all because we need to have a backup plan. We're not going to totally trust God here. We're just going to have a backup plan. We're going to keep some back for ourselves, but let's take a big amount and lay it down. And if you want to read Acts chapter 5, God killed them dead. Do you understand? Dead. They didn't move. Dead. They picked them up and took them out of the church and buried them. Came to a church service, lied to God. The leader said, folks, do you know what you're doing? Yep. You better check it out. Nope, we're doing just fine. And he said, I hope you are with Jesus. And they died. And he said, take them out and bury them so we can go on with church. Next. How would you like to be the next one in line to bring your money? They had just brought a whole bunch of money and laid it at the thing, at the feet, right up in front of God and everybody. How would you like to be the next one in line? Preacher said, okay, somebody just died. Hey, could I have a couple of y'all pick this one up and take them out and bury them? You're next in line. Come forward. I'm not sure I want to give it today. Do you understand holy fear now? Do you understand holy fear? What? I'm going to go home and what? Yeah, get what you hid. Okay. I want you to notice the note right at the top, because we're going to go through this. We cannot go from one point to the next without understanding and cooperating completely with the point we're on. Folks, this is not surface church. This is not North American Christianity normal, you know, splash water church. Okay? This is about real relationship with God. I got saved as a drug dealer. I got in church. They all told me they loved God. And for years, it messed me up. All the people in church messed me up. Because they kept saying one thing and doing something else. Because when I read my Bible, it sure didn't seem to go along with what their words. Now I have to choose. Am I going to trust what you say, or am I going to trust what this says? You say you love God. This says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This say I follow God. And this says, if you know the law, you got to do it. Now you're here because God's called you to a deeper place. You're here because you really want Jesus. You're not just looking to get entertained because we don't entertain. That's not what this is about. You're here because you really want Jesus. So let's do something that will help you for the rest of your life. And let's learn how to deal with sin in a real way. When I came to Jesus as a drug dealer, with $1,000 worth of PCP in my pocket, hair down in my waist, earring in my ear, when I go to God's dealing with me, God walks in the room. There ain't nobody around. And I'm reading that word, and God walks in the room. And I've got the Bible open, smoking a joint. And God walks in the room. You know how you feel like somebody's behind you? And you turn around and they're there? Well, I turned around, but he's invisible, so I couldn't see him. But I knew he was there. And there wasn't anybody else in the house. And it scared the bejeebers out of me. And I put that joint out. Now, do you think it's a little, oh God, forgive me of my sin? Do you understand? It's like, God's like, he's got me by the life cord, and he's saying, we're going to deal with stuff. See, I'd already been in church. I'd already been baptized by 6 different denominations. I'd already done all the things that churches had told me how to do. But that surface stuff is not enough. Jesus Christ died a violent death on the cross for us. It wasn't some little pretty little crucifix, you know, some little what's that thing called? It's not any of those little things. It wasn't like he wasn't up on velvet and some pretty little guy with long hair. It wasn't anything like that. You want to have an idea? Look in the look right at the end. Don't not right now, but Isaiah 52. I dare you to look it up. It's around verse. It's the last couple of verses. I can't tell you, but it's about the last three verses of Isaiah 52. It says, "His visage, his face, was more marred, more disfigured after the beating than any man." They didn't just beat him, they threw him in front of a moving train. They stripped him, they held him up, and they whipped him with a whip with nine ends on it, with broken glass, sharp metal, and they filleted him. You could see his ribs from looking from the back. Sin is something that needs to be dealt with, but it is so simple that we could come to God if we confess our sin. Oh God, I've got sin. I've committed adultery. I've lied. I've stolen. Not some little watered over words. And in Luke 18:13, Jesus is looking at two men that are coming to confess. And one is a self-righteous church-going guy, a Pharisee, a leader, a preacher in a church. And he comes forward and he says, well, he sticks his chest out. When I watch people walk in here like this, I don't see humility. What I see is pride. And that's what this guy did. He walks in here, I'm so glad that I do this and I do that and I'm not like other men. You see, we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And what needs to happen is this other guy walks in and it said he would not so much as lift up his eyes, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful. Don't give me what I deserve. What I deserve is to be cast from your presence forever. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dictionary definition, sinner, C. Harvey. Do you understand? No ifs, ands, or buts playing. We're going to read, we'd already read Psalm 51:6. Okay, let's go to the point one there. Point one says, sorry, I should have kept one. We have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits that we've partnered with. We already looked at Psalm 51:6 and Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Point number two. So number one, we have to be willing. Thank you, brother. We have to be willing to see our sin. Hey, can I have the first page? Sorry, I just thought I'd start where y'all did. What was I thinking? Okay. We have to be willing to see our sin in the spirits that we partnered with. In order to get forgiveness, this is a thorough way. See, you could simply come to God and say, God, I'm serious and I'm sorry. And God, I know I'm the one who killed you. Please forgive me. And He will wash away your sin. When you get down to the end of this study, I don't want you to go there right now. I mean, you can if you just want to look at it, but don't go start looking them up. It says, here's repentance prayers in the Bible. Other people repenting. Get an idea of what it's like when other people were repenting. See the seriousness and how deep they went. And no pulling punches. And then, notice where it says, you see, one of the big things about sin is that little saying right underneath the repentance prayers. It says, please break my heart for what breaks your heart, God. And then notice the next little saying. It says, what our God does with our sins when we properly deal with them. I love that. You see, I walk around in confidence because I'm a good repenter. See, I'm a good sinner. I sin every day. Haven't I told you that? I'm not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the good sinner that I'm the good example of the sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Haven't I said that?
Yes.
I mean, do I get up here and act like I'm the example of Christ? No. I'm in the same boat as you are. Every one of us are. That's the thing. But most people don't realize that or admit that. And what I'm saying is, let's deal with it so we can go on in victory. Let's deal with it so we can have strong confidence in God. Let's go on with it so we can look God eyeball to eyeball anytime and know that we've dealt with everything on the up and up. No hiding. What do you think? Wouldn't it be nice to have strong confidence? Wouldn't it be nice to quit being ashamed? Guilt? Ashamed? You like living there? I don't. Okay, so let's deal with it. This is really where God's wanting to take us. You ready? We have to be willing to see our sin in the spirits we partnered with. You got to understand, we were created in the image of God. We were not created to sin. The devil came along and deceived Eve and said, "Hey, hath God said, hey, don't you want to eat this? Because when you do, you're going to be like God. Let me deceive you here." And she bit into it. Seriously. And then she just gives it to her husband. Old dumb ox. He just bites. Well, let me eat it too. You women are so strong. I'm serious. It's the spirit of the woman is the spirit of the home. And you women need to walk with God. I am not kidding you. I'm getting on the guys enough. You women need to walk with God. You women need to be lifting up these guys in prayer. Does he have faults? Good night. You can't find the end of the list. I resemble that. Okay, so what are you going to do? Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. And so how does that help? How about, you can talk about me just as much you please. You can talk about me just as much you please. You can talk about me just as much you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All of my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. When you get to the end and you start reading what our God does with our sins when we properly deal with them, you're going to find that God takes all your sin and He covers it with the blood of Jesus. It's paid for. When you go to the store and you check out at Myers and they tell you it's $100 for your 2 bags of groceries, and when you give them $100, they give you a receipt and say paid in full, right? When you're leaving, the lady that smiles at you when you're coming in doesn't say, "Hey, you didn't finish paying." What do you mean? You see, when you deal with your sin through the blood of Jesus, it's taken care of. What did Jesus say on the cross? Last three words? It is finished. He could have said, paid in full. You get it? It's done. The Father accepted. Father, is my death enough for Harvey? That scoundrel? Or is there something else Harvey has to do? And the Father reached over, picked up his body from the grave and said, paid in full. It's done. When you get to that part and you see what He does with our sin when you properly deal with it, it'll set you free. And you'll walk around in confidence, not in pride, but in confidence, because you can look at God eyeball to eyeball. Number two, we need God. So number one, we have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits we partnered with. Number two, we need God to reveal this sin and the spirits so that we see our sin through His eyes. We need to see our sin through His eyes. Because if we don't see it through His eyes and we see it through the eyes of society, we'll start making excuses for it. Oh, it's just a disease. He has a disease of alcoholism. There's no disease of alcoholism. Not when you look at it through God's eyes. There's 162 verses against drinking in this book. Do you think God had a stuttering problem, or you think maybe it's a sin? 162 verses. What do you think? It's called drunkenness. It's not a disease. It's not something somebody catches. Okay? We need God to reveal this sin in the spirits so that we see them through His eyes. What is the root sin and spirit that God has identified in you? What sin is it you want to get free from? What sin do you want to get free from? What do you deal with? Pride? Selfishness? Anger? Drunkenness? What? Lust? So what sin do you want to get free from? You like those having power over you? Do you like having to keep go back to Jesus every day and ask Him to forgive you? You like where it takes you and the way it makes you feel? You want to get delivered? That's what this is about. God, help me to see it. These are your prayers. Help me to... I am willing to see my sin. Help, please reveal this sin. I want to see it through your eyes. I want to see if they can feel about it the way you do. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Go ahead.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them.
1 John 2:11. While you're turning there, I'm just going to read it again. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, if you don't know the truth, you can't believe it. And if you're believing a lie, you're not believing the truth. The God, the little g God, the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest, unless, the light of the glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, God in the flesh, should shine unto them. 1 John 2:11. Somebody want to read that, Nate?
Yep. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes.
We don't want to walk in darkness, we want to walk in light, correct?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
Number 3, admit to ourselves that this sin and these spirits are in us. As we admit the truth, God grants us repentance. Okay, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, 25, and if you get there, then go over to Psalm 51, you know, hold your place, and then go to Psalm 51, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2:25. Somebody got that?
In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Thank you. God gives us repentance, true repentance, when we acknowledge the truth. But we have to acknowledge the truth. Have you've asked God to forgive you and then you walk away feeling guilty? One of two things is true. Either you didn't deal with it in truth, or you didn't accept God's forgiveness and believe that He would really forgive you because you're still, you haven't dealt with it thoroughly. When you deal with it thoroughly, He takes that off of you. He delivers you. Have you ever been set free from sin? I'm sorry? Is there any place, any area of your life you've ever been set free? Do you remember? But it felt like, whoa! And it's like, wow! And you're like, you want to tell everybody about Jesus? You can't quit talking about Him? You're just full of joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory? Dude, I got saved as that drug dealer. I went around, I told y'all, they had to call the cops on me. They didn't know Jesus! I go to church, I ain't talking about church! Did you know Jesus? That policeman comes up, he says, what are you doing, boy? He says, come here, boy. I walk over. He said, what are you telling people in these houses? So I told him about Jesus. I said, you know Jesus? You know, He died on the cross for you. He set me free. He said, sounds like you got saved, boy. I said, I think that's what they called it. I didn't know how to calm down. Asked my wife. For years, I used to grab people. You need to meet Jesus! I threw them on the floor. I grabbed them. I threw them against walls. I couldn't help it. You need Jesus!
Right.
I don't know how to calm down. I met God! What am I supposed to do? I get to go be a member of a glee club now. I get to wear nice wingtip shoes and a tie. I can call myself a Christian? Is that what it's about? Gag me with a spoon, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think so. I met God. I haven't been able to quit talking about Him for 35 years now. I might get over it, but I doubt it. One day they're going to have to cut my head off to get me to quit talking. Both the hitmen tried to get me to quit talking by sticking a gun in my face. And instead, both of them got saved. All kinds of guys have grabbed me by the neck because I told them about Jesus, and they were going to, in English, pulverize me. And they ended up meeting Jesus. Admit yourselves that this sin and these spirits are in us. As we admit the truth, God grants us repentance. Now watch. We need to own our sin. It's my sin. Not blame shifting on somebody. Jade. J-A-D-E. Justify. Argue. Defend. Explain. It's not God. Those are not virtues. If we're justifying, if we're arguing, if we're defending, if we feel like we got to explain, we're in denial. We're not owning our sin. You can't get deliverance until you own it. Do you understand? Number four, ask Father to help us recognize and name our sin. Harvey, if you did all this, wait a minute, turn over to 2 Timothy 1:7. Harvey, if you, did we already read the other one? Psalm 51. Okay, I know. You're there, so read it, please.
Have mercy upon me, O God.
Did you hear that? Are you listening? Go ahead.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned.
And done this evil in your sight. Number four, ask Father to help us recognize and name our sin and each Antichrist spirit we are now serving and partnering with. Harvey, if you printed all this up and you gave it to us, isn't that good enough? Do you got to go through and read it to us? Well, how come when I've given it to you before, you didn't do anything with it? I'm sorry. Can I go into truth now? I want to walk you through it to help you. I want to walk you through it so you'll take the time to look at these verses, hear them, get them in you, and maybe God's going to get like a little hook in you. And you think you're going to leave, but He's going to be tugging on you after you leave. Does He do that when you come here?
Yeah.
All the time. He calls me up. God's messing with me. I can't sleep. I can't quit thinking of all this stuff. And when he told me that the first time, I said, well, you know how to get it to quit happening, don't you? And he said, how? I said, quit coming to Burning Bush. I said, you can go to other places. I said, it won't bother you. Because they're not going to deal with sin or repentance. They're not going to try to get you to Jesus. He says, he thought I was telling him he couldn't come. He got all upset. 2 Timothy 1:7. Are you there? Please read it. Out loud.
For God hath not given us spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Are you already in John 8:34? Because you have it right in front of you. Are you already there? Who's there? Who's got John 8:34? And then who's got Romans 6? Go ahead.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin.
If we commit sin, it's because we're the servant of sin. We're serving an Antichrist spirit. We're serving an Antichrist spirit. Are you servants of the Most High God, or are you servant of sin? You see, every one of us sins every day, but if you take and you deal with it the way God wants you to, He'll set you free, and then you can serve God. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 18. 16 through 18. Sue, go ahead.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness.
Point four, and ask Father to help us recognize and name our sin. You see, and each Antichrist spirit that we're now serving and partnering with, when you name it, if you just say, God, forgive me of my sin, He could forgive you, but God wants to take you deeper. God, forgive me of my selfishness. God, forgive me of my rebellion. God, forgive me of my anger. God, I don't want those spirits living in me. Did God create you in anger? So then it's an intrusive spirit, right? Because you were made in the perfect image of God. No justify, argue, defend, or explain, okay? What I'm saying to you is, when you were made in the image of God, you were made perfect, just like Him. So when you have those things, it's a spirit that's living in you. Okay? It's a spirit. We need to ask God to show us, recognize, and name those spirits so we can get deliverance from them. Because sometimes we just go, God, please forgive me, and then, but we don't get the deliverance. We don't get the freedom. We don't get the guilt and the shame removed. We don't get the victory. It's because God's wanting us to go deeper, not shallow. He's wanting us to go deeper. He's wanting to get the root and the seed sin out of us. Not just keep saying, you know, I'm a sinner and just living in a defeated life. I'm a sinner. Okay? Number five, realize we partnered with devilish spirits. We invited them in and gave them permission and license to live in us. We were intimate with devilish spirits and conceived sin together. We're going to go there. Somebody read Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Are you already there? I know you are. Somebody else get the next one. Joshua 24, 15.
I called...
This is God talking.
Deuteronomy 30, 19. I called heaven and earth to record this
record this day.
Record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and they seed my life.
Thy seed may live.
Oh, yes.
That both thou and thy seed may live. God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose you this day. Are you in Joshua 24:15? What's it say? Go ahead.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I had those windows open a little bit up there, babe, because it would make it cooler in here. She said they were singing loudly. So, okay, we'll just sweat. Okay. James 1, 13 to 15. James 1, 13 to 15. Anybody have that? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived it, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Very good. It said that the Antichrist spirits come along and they deceive us. I'm thinking in verse 14, 15, and what he does is they come along and they deceive us and they entangle us with their lies. We buy into it, and then when we partner, it's like That word, it says they conceived sin. That means we in an antichrist spirit. This is what I'm saying. Okay? Take Glenn. He was made in the image of God. Okay? He was made perfect. Now, an antichrist spirit of anger comes to say, let me live through you, because he's looking for somebody to live through. Does God want to live through you? I'm not taking questions right now. You can write it down. Does God want to live through you?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So does the devil. So who are we going to let live through us? When the devil comes along, a spirit of anger, a spirit of lust, a spirit of, you name it, lying, taking, selfishness, and all it does is it can suggest to you, if you receive it, if you agree with it, if you let it come live through you, his only power, the devil's only power, is to give you a suggestion. Just like God, he gives you the word of truth. The devil gives you a whole world full of lies. You get to choose who you're going to believe. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. You choose. When we allow that spirit to come, that spirit of anger, selfishness, control, whatever it is, to come live through us, we partner with it, it entangles us, and there is a spirit, there is a word there that talks, that gives an idea of a man and a woman becoming intimate and united . And it says, sin is conceived. That means we had to have intimacy with an antichrist spirit. Do you want the devil's seed to live in you?
No.
The devil's seed? You want to give birth to a demon? That's how important this is. That's why we've got to look at this in the way that he's saying it. We need to realize that we've partnered with a devilish spirit, number 5. We invited them in. He only comes to you and makes a suggestion. He only comes to you and makes a suggestion. And now you get to choose if you're going to let him in or not. You get to choose. It's your right. God gives you that right. You are God of your own life. Little g God. You get to rule your own world. The devil has no power over you. Back in the 70s, there was a stand-up comic named Flip Wilson. And he used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. Because every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own strong, evil, selfish, self-promoting desire. Every one of us. But don't you understand that God's bigger than the boogeyman? Don't you understand the devil has no power over you? He has no power over you at all. And he definitely has no power over Jesus. Number 6, we need to realize that we're handcuffed to these sins and spirits. They have power over us. Now you just said, Harvey, they don't have power over us. They have power over us if you let them in. See, you can't just say, I'm going to just drink one drink, for example. I'm just going to smoke one doobie. I'm just going to shoot one time. I'm just going to do one line of crack. Does it stop there, anybody who's ever done any of those things?
No.
It doesn't, does it?
Yeah.
You do not control it, do you? every time. But you lie. You lie. You lie. You call us and you lie. And you say, I'm only going to treat one. I'm only going to do one. I'm just not going to read my Bible today. Do you understand? One. You see, once you invite the devil in, he hates your guts. Have you ever read in John 10:10? The thief, the devil, only comes to steal from you, to destroy you, to kill you. Remember this. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would make this jump in their little bellies. You ready? God and the devil are both into mathematics. The devil is into division and subtraction. God's into addition and multiplication. Whatever's coming at you right now, is it adding to you? Is it multiplying and blessing you, overflowing you? Or is it taking from you, stealing your joy, stealing your peace, stealing your innocence? Is it dividing you? Well, I'm not going to go to church today. I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm not going to go hang out with Sue today or Hannah today because whatever the reason is. Anything that divides you from the things of God is not God. Is that hard? I'm asking. Does that take a lawyer to understand that? No, really. I'm asking. Anything that divides you from the things of God, it's not God. Well, I'm just not reading my Bible. Okay, you get to choose who's going to live in you. You don't want God. That's your choice. But realize that it's not God. It's never God who tells you to stay away from church. It's never God who tells you to stay away from your accountability partner. It's never God who tells you not to read the Word today. It's never God. It's never God who tells you to go hang out with people that aren't walking with God. It's God who tells you to go hang out with people that aren't. And God is right there and He's whispering. Katie. Still a small voice. Katie. You see, you already know. He tells you. But it's like in the old cartoons when I was a kid, back in the 50s, they had these cartoons. They had a little angel on the shoulder, and they had a little demon with a pitchfork. There's little pointy ears and tail, you know, on this one. And the angel's telling them all this good stuff. You know, your mama, you said this. And the little demon's over here going, no, no, go be selfish. Go hurt the person. No, no. They used to do that in the cartoons when I was a kid. You remember that? They got away from that, and nowadays they just make all of them in the cartoons demons. You know, they're all big. They're not little anymore. They're all big. Folks, to deal with these sin, we got to realize we're handcuffed to sin when we let them in. When you let the demons in, you give them power. You give them authority in your life. Only when you let them in. And they have power over us. We don't control them. You cannot control sin. I'm sorry, I just think I was supposed to say that again. You cannot control sin. These sins and spirits have power over us. Romans chapter 7, verses 11 through 24. I'm not going to read that right now because I feel like God just said go to the next one. Make a choice to break agreement with sin and the devil. Turn to James 4, 7 and 8. James 4, 7 and 8. I love it. It is so simple. You want to live a simple life? Live James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Don't touch the unclean thing. How's it go? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Don't be thinking both ways. Don't even think about what the old devil's telling you. The idol over here. I don't even want to hear you, snake breath. I'm not just calling him names so it sounds funny. That's how I like to think of him. Snake breath. The only good snake is a dead one, right? Why would I want any snake come up doing all that to me? We go to the animal place the other day, and Jackson is like, Papa, could I hold an animal today? And I go, sure, Jackson, what would you like to hold? Well, Papa, you know, I know that you think the only good snake is a dead one, but, you know, Papa, what I'd really like. Now, Jackson, I can hear it coming, and I'm trying to do the backward shuffle, you know. And I'm going, Papa, Papa, Papa. And he's going, well, Papa, could I just maybe hold, you know, just maybe like that one. That thing must have been 10 foot long. I don't even like being in that part of the store. So we go down from this one that's this big around, and the eyes are like gray with film over. And then we go to these other ones, and we keep going down. Finally, we get down to these little ones that look about like worms, but they got stripes on them, like deadly snakes, whatever. I don't know what they are. And I'm like, I'm trying to be good, Papa, you know. And I'm thinking, I probably won't kill it because I don't want to pay for it, you know. And so I went and got the guy, and he said, sure. So he comes over there. He pulls that little worm snake out. And I'm standing back here, and Jackson, he can't wait. He's like, hold your hands out like you got a snake in your hand. The guy's like holding this wormy snake thing. It's going all over the place. I'm like, dude, if that gets loose, I'm going to lose $100 because that's what the thing costs, because I am going to smash it. I'm not going to lay hands on it. I'm going to lay my foot on it, and I am going to do a happy dance on it. And that thing is like squirming all over the place here. And Jackson is like, he can't wait to get his hands on it. And I'm like about to die. Look at James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Look, you go to a party. You walk in. You know, they're drinking. If you hang out with drinking people, what are you going to do? Then why are you hanging out there? Well, they're all my friends. I'm sorry. Hang out with them when they're not drinking. If they're going to be your friends, hang out with them if you want to, but don't hang out with them when they're drinking. Because if you stay there, have you ever drank? Then it's going to get you again. Do you understand? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Walk in. Okay. Would this make Jesus happy if I hang out? Because I know what they're going to do. They're not just going to drink and all be nice and talk about church, are they? Are they? So you submit yourselves therefore to God. You stop right there. The guys used to walk up to me at that 200-man shop and they would say, can I tell you a joke? And I learned to say to them, is it clean? And when they went, ba 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 ba, I knew it wasn't clean. I would tell them, the dirtiest joke I want to hear is that a white horse fell in a mud puddle. If it's dirtier than that, I don't want to hear it. Now you got to understand, when I got in church, every other word in my mouth was a cuss word. I have never in my life heard anybody cuss as bad as I did. But God delivered me from that. I don't want that in my life anymore. So I don't want to be around people that are telling me dirty jokes. Do you understand? Submit yourselves therefore to God. I want to be able to look in God's eyes any moment of the day. See, I want to have strong confidence to look in God's eyes. Not go to get near me and You go to pray and I'm a worm. I want all the time to be able to look in God's eyes. Father, does this bless you? Does this bless you? I want to see that smile on his face. Do you like it when Jesus is smiling at you? I'm sorry. Do you like it when he's just holding you and caressing you and telling you how precious you are? I wonder what it would be like if we lived there. That's what we're talking about. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. The only power he has is to give you a suggestion. No! You know how to say no, don't you? You know how to say no? Say it. Oh, that's not very good. Look, the devil's come along trying to get you to commit adultery. What do you say? Well, no. Let me think about it for a little bit. Let's see. Maybe I'd get caught. No, maybe I shouldn't do it. No. Dave and I go into houses. Dave more than me now. And people have money sitting on their dressers. It's not ours. It's not designated for tub glaze. I could take it and ask them later. Right. Is that my tip? Let me give you a tip. If you touch it, I'll break it in your face. Okay. What I'm saying is, what do I do? Do I walk in, see the money, and think, wow, that's the check's over in the tub. It's made out the tub pays for the exact amount. I wonder what this money's about. Let's see. How much is it? First, we count it. Now, dude, you already messed up. You touched the thing. Then you start counting it. Then you start thinking on it. What could I do with $430? Do you see? That's what sin does. If you start thinking about it, it captures you. Do you understand? It is not an option. Five words you need to have in your life. It is not an option. It is not an option. It is not an option. I walk in, I see money, it's not an option. I walk in, I've gone door to door, tell people about Jesus. I've had naked women come to the door. It's not an option. I'm walking down the street with a guy down in St. Pete, Florida, 2-week meeting. We're taking people out door to door, telling them how to, showing them people getting saved. I'm walking down the street. This is Florida, and the girl's over there wearing a bikini. I mean, there wasn't enough there to put an eye patch on my, enough cloth there to cover my eye. Do I need to be more specific? I don't think so. Are you ready? And I'm walking, and I said, God, I'm not going over there. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, what? He said, go talk to her. I'm like, Lord, she ain't got enough clothes on. Make good eye patch. He said, tell her to get some clothes on. Hear the whole story, because you're going to think I'm just a dunderhead as I'm going through this. And I am, but just I'm a dunderhead for Jesus. So how do you deal with that? I walk up and I go like this. Are you watching me? I walk up just like this. All I could see is just like this. It's hot out there. She was taking a shower out in the yard and there was no water. So I walk up because God told me to, because I wasn't going over there. I'm going to stay on this side of the street with the guy I'm with. And he says, go talk to that naked ninny over there. And I walked up just like this and I said, we're out in the neighborhood talking to folks about Jesus. I couldn't see nothing but her eyes. I said, we're out in the neighborhood talking to folks about Jesus. You want to hear about Jesus? She said, yeah. I said, go get some clothes on. About 20 minutes later, with clothes on, the girl fell on her knees and called out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus and was born again. I didn't go over there and go, huh, let me think about it. God sent me here. Window shopping, I guess he was sending me here for. Why do we live like that? Every day, why do we live like that? Are we stupid? I'm sorry. We don't use that word. Are we stupid? I mean, I am driving down the road and I see all these girls bouncing and clothes tattooed on and hardly anything. I don't go around the block and come back to make sure I saw it right. Why do we deal with sin like that? Please, James 4, 7 and 8. I asked you at the beginning of the year in January because God told me to ask you. Please memorize James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the Word. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All this stuff we're going through today, yes, I'm putting humor in it. Yes, whatever. Because it gets too heavy and too thick in here. Y'all can't handle it. Nobody can. It's too heavy. But I want you to memorize James 4, 7, and 8 also. If you come next week and you memorize James 4, 7, and 8, I'm going to give you a gold star. I'm serious. James 4, 7, and 8. I'm talking about King James. Don't give me one of those watered down ones. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Watch. God's given you a promise. If you'll resist him, he'll flee from you. You don't got to yell at him. You don't got to command him all kinds of stuff. All you got to do is say, it's not an option. I'm not going to look at the money. I'm not going to count the money. I'm not going to think about the money and then make my decision. It's not an option. I'm not going to look at the girl. I'm not going to touch the girl. I'm not going to think about the girl. I'm not going to be in some place with a girl where I shouldn't be. It's not an option. Do you understand? Do you understand that applies to everything in our life? Every day? Where are we? I'm glad you asked. Can I ask you a question? Look at me and be honest. Don't lie to me. Will you memorize James 4, 7, and 8 this week? Will you, in your heart, have you already purposed, I'm not going to do that? Tell me the truth. I've already purposed in my heart, I'm not doing it. Okay. Oh, you already know it. Well, then you didn't need to do that. Okay. Would you purpose in your heart, I'm going to do that this week? I'm not asking you to make a pledge. I'm not trying to put guilt, burden, manipulation, pressure on you. I'm saying, will you make a decision right now? Look, this is important. God put a leader in my life, and the leader says, I need to have this in my life. Would you do it this week, James 4, 7, and 8? Or is there anybody in here saying, I will not do it? Huh?
You just added to that.
I just added to that? That's a whole other thing. Please, make a choice to break agreement with sin and the devil. It is so simple. See, this may look like a 19-point outline, and it is, but it's just to help you realize what you're doing and where God's wanting to take us deeper. Number 8, realize that we can't get free by ourselves. Turn to Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25. Good night. You got it, dear sister? Somebody else get John 15:5, please.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Who shall deliver me? Only Jesus. John 15:5. Somebody got that? Go in.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Those last few words, that last little phrase, are you ready? Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can't do anything. Jesus, I need you. The devil comes along and deceives you. Do you understand he's older than you? Do you understand he's got a little more experience than you? Do you understand he knows the fallen nature of men and women? Do you understand he's dealt with millions of people before you? Hundreds of millions, yea, billions. Do you understand he's got a lot of experience? Do you understand he knows how to trip you up? He knows how to come after an area in your life and what to say. Do you know he's tripped you up before? He knows how to do it again. You got to turn to Jesus. See, I got to live. I got to live. Here, do me a favor. Come here, stand here. No, wait a minute. I need you to come here, stand here. You got short pants on. Okay? I need to live hanging out with Jesus. Do you understand? I need to live depending on Jesus. I need to live, Jesus, I need your help. I can't do it without you. And he's like, good, because I can do it for you. Good. He says, I will carry you. He said, I didn't design you to do this. I'm the Savior. If you do it, you walk around with your chest stuck out, like some thinking you did it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Number 9. We're going to stop with number 9, but we're going to go through number 9. You ready? Realize that Jesus is our only help. Romans 6:14. Are you there? Who's there? Oh, hang on. One at a time. Okay, Romans 6:14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law. I'm not going to do the law and grace thing right now. But law is you trying to live it. Grace is God doing it for you. Who's got more power, you or God? Then why are you dependent on your own? No wonder you're falling. See, we're going to learn how to depend on Jesus. Just walking with Jesus. Just walking with Jesus. Just hanging out with Him. Romans, we just read Romans 7:24-25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:2. Somebody got that? Thank you, Spencer. You got the next one?
For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you notice what Romans 6:14 said? It said, sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion or power over you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Go ahead, 1 John 3:8.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil.
Did you read that? Did you hear that? He that commits sin is of the devil, because we've just partnered with Him. We just entered His side and let Him live. Notice, Jesus painfully died to pay our penalty for sin. This sin that we're dealing with, Jesus painfully died to pay it. Father, is my death enough for this sin that Hannah just did? Is my death enough to pay for Katie's sin? Is my death enough to pay for her friend's sin? Will it pay for Janiah's sin?
Absolutely.
But Father, they did it 70 other times today.
Doesn't matter.
Number B. And to restore Jesus died to pay our penalty for sin and to restore us to full and right relationship with God. Does God fellowship with sin? I can't hear you.
No.
So God doesn't fellowship with sin. When we're carrying sin, we know we can't have fellowship with Him. So why do we carry it? I'm going to give you, I think it's four words. Ready? Keep short, five words, accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. What do you mean? I'm glad you asked. That was a good question. It means when you sin and you become aware of it, immediately confess it. Even if you're in the midst of it. Oh God, Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, I don't want this. I'd like to go through all of it, but I can't. So, look at the verses and we'll be done. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Who's there? I know somebody's there. They must be in another state. 1 John 2, 1 and 2.
My little children, these things... let me try this again. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteousness. And He is the
propitiation,
the sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
What is an advocate, Mr. Advocate? What's an advocate?
Somebody that argues on behalf of somebody.
You understand he's a lawyer? That's an advocate. He's a legal advocate. It says in that verse, we have an advocate with the Father. Someone who represents us to God Almighty, the Supreme Being. And His name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. He can stand before God anytime. He is God. But as our representative, as our lawyer, as our advocate, Jesus can stand before the Father and say, as the Father says, what about their sin? And Jesus said, I already paid their sin in full. I'm the propitiation. I'm the satisfactory offering for their sin. You already accepted it. Next point. Because that's already done. Through Jesus. That's why there's no God like my Jesus. Because Jehovah didn't die for me. The Lord Jesus died for me. There's no God like my Jesus. There's no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah, but there's no God like my Jesus. It's Jesus I need 24 hours a day. It's Jesus that the Father points to. It's Jesus that the Holy Spirit points to. Holy Spirit never points to Himself. People that are always talking about the Holy Spirit, they're messed up. They're out of balance. Because nowhere does it ever say that the Holy Spirit points to Himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus, the one who never lies, says over in John 14, it says, He shall point to me, Jesus said. Not me, but Him, Jesus. And the Father is always pointing, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye Him. Everything is always around Jesus. Jesus is the center. That's why we show them Jesus. We don't show them Jehovah. We show them Jesus. We're going to stand before Jesus as God. We're going to give an account. The judgment seat of Christ. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. We're going to stand before the judge Jesus. We need to take our sin We need to look at this and take our sin and bring it. We need to ask God to open our eyes so we can get deliverance from it. Instead of little soothing applications, we need to get deliverance. Why do some people have major deliverance in their lives and other people, you can look at their lives years later and they're still the same. They're still struggling with the same things. Why? Because they haven't dealt with it God's way. They may give lip service or do what they think, but they deal with it lightly. They don't deal with it thoroughly. They don't understand the things that God had me write here. I said, God, why would you have me? I said, it's not this hard. He said, no, it's not that hard, Harv. He said, you could do it in 7 words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But do you even know what the word mercy means? No, mercy, that's included. But mercy means to not get what you deserve. Mercy means to not get what you deserve. That's why Jesus got what we deserve. Father, treat me as if I'm a drug dealer. Treat me as if I'm a liar. Treat me as if I'm a thief. Treat me as if I'm disobedient to my parents. Treat me as if I'm that rascal named Harvey Hampton. Jesus got what I deserve. Therefore, I can have mercy from God because every sin has to be paid for. Every sin has to be paid for. I don't know why, but it helps me to do numbers of how many words. It just helps me. Did anybody learn anything here today? Did anybody get something here today that may help them? Is there anything that somebody could say they got today immediately that's jumping in you right now you could tell me that would help you? I know you need to process all this. I'm not asking you to turn around and re-preach or talk about what I said. I'm asking, is there one thing you got today that could help you?
The Romans 24 and 25.
Whoso delivered me from this body of death, I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Ye double-minded.
Oh, that's James 4, 7 and 8.
Well, that verse really got to me because sometimes it's not a lack of faith, but it's the closer I try and get to God, it's like there's something pulling me.
That's right.
It's the devil.
That's right.
And so sometimes I do have problems.
That's right. That's why when I see that money, when I walk in somebody's house like I did the other day and I see a wad of cash laying there, it's not an option. I don't even look at it. Because if I look at it, I'm going to think on it. And if I think on it, it's going to draw me.
The old me would probably.
Right. Right. When I was a kid, my dad, one of the things my dad did was he was a manager at a place called McDuff's. It was an appliance store. And one day I caught my brother in there stealing money from my dad. It was on the dresser. He put it on his dresser in their bedroom. And then my dad would go take a shower. And one day I was going by there, and I don't know if Casey called me in there or what, but all I know is he said, come look at this. I go in there. My dad had this, wad of cash. I said, what are you doing? He said, every day he's got a new wad in here. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm taking it. He said, I just take whatever he's got the most of. So some days he took 20s, and some days he took 10s, and some days he took 5s. And guess what? Your illustrious leader, this epitome of the vision of Christ, reached over and took money right out of my dad's wallet. Because he had a bunch of it. And he never, ever, ever missed it. And we did it every single morning for I don't know for how long. But I couldn't live with that. You know what we did with that money? We took and bought toys. My mom and dad worked all the time. They were never home. My brother and I, when we got out of school, we came home and we played at our house or across the street at the school in the playground and whatever, you know, and there was a rec center up here. And we went and shot pool and played ping pong. But we started going and buying toys. We bought fireworks. We bought cherry bombs. We bought M80s. We did all kinds of stuff. We blew things up. We bought toys and then blew them up. We had army men. We set up thousands of army men. And then we took M80s and we threw them or we buried them. And they were landmines. Like, watch these army men. And then we went and bought Civil War men. And then we went and bought... And we bought, and we bought, and we bought, and we bought, and we bought. But we could never bring it home because my folks believed in corporal punishment. You know what that means? Corporal means body. Punishment means hurt. They hurt my body. They took their belt off. Their pants didn't fall down. And they beat the fire out of me. When I was raised, I thought you were supposed to eat breakfast, make your bed, get a spanking, go to school, get a spanking, come home, see your parents, get a spanking, eat, go to bed. Because that's how I grew up. Because at the beginning of the year, my dad went, took his business card. Hi, my name's Jack Hampton. I have two boys, Harvey and Casey. If they do anything wrong, I want you to beat the fire out of them. And then call me. So when they get home, I'll beat the fire out of them. If you wonder why I have discipline in my life, if you wonder why I have the fear of God in my life, it says about children, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. If we don't teach them to fear, to have holy respect, fear, and obedience now, they'll never listen to God. They'll rebel against authority and they'll ultimately rebel against God. I'm not telling you to go home and beat your kids. I'm not telling you that at all. What I'm telling you is that there is a fear of God. And there's times that the Board of Education needs to be applied to the seat of knowledge and get their want to straightened out. Dad, I don't want to. When I'm done, you will. We're going to go to the bedroom and have us a board meeting. I'm not telling you that I did everything right. I'm saying there's times that child needs a timeout. There's times, Janiyah, all we had to do was look at her. And she'd start crying. She was like the best little kid. And she's like the best little daughter. And yet she's over there shaking her head because she knows she's got a sinful heart. Just like everybody in this room, everybody in this world. How bad is our heart? What would you do if there were no consequences? There's your heart. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because judgment doesn't happen immediately, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Your little darling. Oh, they're so cute. They're just a little sinner. Yes, they're cute. Love them. But they are a little sinner. We don't have a class up there teaching them how to sin. Go to Sunday school so you can learn how to lie. No. They come out to shoot lying. Folks, we need Jesus. He's the only one who can change us. He's the one who comes and gives us a new heart. That's why it can't be about religion and us trying to do better. He don't need improved sinners. He needs to take your wretched heart out and give you His heart. Well, I don't feel bad about doing this. You probably don't have His heart. Because he that is born of God doth not commit sin. You can't continue to practice sin. If you do, if you continue and it doesn't bother you, you don't have His heart. You're just, at best, religious. We got to be born again. We need to deal with our sin. We need to deal with it thoroughly.